All right, so please put your hands together as we invite Pastor Nami up.
Good morning, church. How is everyone? Good, good. How great to see people getting baptized. Thank you, guys. Wow. It's always good to be in church. I don't have a lot of time. I think I've got 10 minutes. Is that correct? I have 20? Okay. All right. So one of the things, I'm Pastor Nami for anyone who does not know me. I'm really hoping that at the end, there will be an opportunity to pray. We heard Claire talk about just prayer and that prayer works. So if you take anything from today's message, it's that prayer works. My whole message in summary is that prayer works. That's it. So you can leave if you want to, because that's the whole message. All right. So if you're taking notes, today is part one of two parts of the series we're doing called Fresh. And the title of my message is Breath of God. Fresh. Breath of God. Recently, I parked my car after a long day of work, and I just said, Lord, my body is in so much pain, and I'm so tired. And I heard the Lord say, yes, my body is in so much pain, and my body is so tired. And I thought, hold up, I thought we were talking about me. But I heard it again, that his body, the church, is in so much pain and it's so tired. The people of God are in pain and they are tired. Quite often for myself, I have experienced pain in my body because of either a mystery illness or some unexplainable fall. Lately, I've struggled with a bit of hip pain. And that was about 6 weeks ago. It was because of 6 weeks ago, I was trying to help one of my children. And I lifted up a washing basket full of dirty clothes. 1 minute, I was holding a washing basket. The next minute, I was lying flat on my back, looking at the ceiling. And as I lay there trying to work out how I was going to get up, I started to reflect on all the falls I had had. I remembered my first fall at the age of 10. I was going to school and we were walking with a group of people. And for some reason, of all the people, I ended up in a puddle of mud on my way to school. And then the next one was when I was 11 years old and I was running somewhere in the house and there was water and, of course, I slipped. And then when I was in Adelaide in college, I remember running for the bus. And then the next thing, I remember seeing strangers running towards me because I had fallen. I don't know how. Talking of baptisms, I fell at a baptism in Port Hedland. This was a very interesting one because somebody who I was working with professionally as a client somehow ended up at our church. And he ended up as being one of the people who were getting baptized. And so we are at this place, Pretty Pools called, and people are about to get baptized. Somehow, I fell. And of all the people who were there, the one person who came running towards me was my client. That was embarrassing, but also touching at the same time. Then I remembered, I'm still lying on the floor remembering all these things. I remember that I fell in Broome. We went to Broome on holiday. 1 minute I was just walking, the next minute I was on the ground. And my mother was here at the time, you know, staying with us. And she saw me. She didn't see me fall. She just saw that I was sitting down on the ground and waving at her, you know? But she didn't know that, you know, I had fallen. 3 years ago, I had my youngest with me in the bathroom and somehow I fell. Luckily, I was not holding her. I just remember I was lying on the floor and I heard this scream. And I never knew that babies could have fear in them, but I heard fear in her voice as she screamed as I lay there because there was nobody else nearby to help. Of all these falls, the one that stands out the most, the one that has had the greatest impact, was one that happened in 2014. And I decided 15 minutes before closing time to rush to the shops to get some stuff for the kids, of course, for school, last minute stuff. 1 minute I was saying hello to a friend who was also doing last minute shopping. The next minute I was on the floor with people around me asking questions. I couldn't hear, I couldn't see them, but I could hear them. People talking about calling an ambulance. Cut a long story short, ended up in hospital. 6 weeks unable to do what I needed to do. 2 months out of work. And because it was December, it was just before Christmas. And it took me until April the following year to take down the Christmas tree. Because I knew when I take down the Christmas tree, it means I am well. Now, you may never have had a fall. Some of you have, but you may never have. Not a physical one, anyway. But you may have had other types of falls, unexpected events that have left you and your loved ones feeling powerless, scared, discouraged. And the question is, what do you do when you find yourself in a situation that does not line up with your faith in God? When there's a tension, instead of peace, there's chaos. Instead of joy, there's misery. Instead of hope, there's hopelessness. Instead of faith, there's fear. As the church of God, as the body of Christ, how do you deal with pain, grief, loss, unexpected tragedy that comes your way? How do you keep going? How do you keep praising, worshiping when you're in these dry places? I learned a few things from these falls. One was that often when we fall, something is shaken. We are destabilized. So don't be surprised if it takes you a little while to get back to normal after a fall. 16 months after my fall in that store, I was still sad. I was still unhappy. I was extremely overweight because I couldn't exercise. My back, my shoulder, my neck were in pain. So don't be surprised if it takes you a little while. I also learned about the kindness of God towards us through the people he sends our way when we are in that place. Complete strangers who come to assist. People who come and prepare meals for you. The church that will help. I've benefited a lot from the church during these times. Our response in these moments, when things get difficult, when you're down, is that we must fall into God, because these are opportunities to draw nearer to God. Because in these moments, we are most vulnerable. Some take the opportunity to draw near to God. Some run away from him. In my vulnerability, I was forced into a place of stillness, dependency, and devotion. I don't know about you, when you've been down and you've fallen and you felt helpless. Do you draw closer to God or do you pull away? Most importantly, I learned that this was an opportunity to stop and take in a fresh breath. A fresh breath. The question is, how do we do that? I want to look at the book of Ezekiel because I believe that there's some key things from this. from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, you may be familiar with this, known as the Valley of Dry Bones. We've got this prophet Ezekiel who's been having all these visions, and then this is one of the visions he has. And he says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from heaven, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle in you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. In summary, we've got this prophet who's being shown a vision of an army that has fallen and now miraculously comes back to life. The dry bones indicate that there was a long time death, a long time hopelessness, a long time disconnection. But through this vision, Ezekiel is shown a picture of restoration. For a lot of us, when we start experiencing pain and feeling tired, we hang in there until we can no longer. And then we want to give up on God and on ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ calls us to remain. In John 15, 4-8, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. As we remain and not quit, in the background, there's transformation. There's a metamorphosis taking place. A metamorphosis, a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one. Metamorphosis, synonyms are transformation, transfiguration. Similarly, in the book of Mark 4:26, we hear this is Jesus. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So though we do not know how, in the background, something is being produced stage by stage. I believe I shared this dream a while back, but I want to share it again for today. I had this dream where there was this woman with three children walking with her. And I was driving, and I ran over one of the children. And then I kept driving. And suddenly I decided I need to go back and pray for the child. When I got there, the child was lifeless. They were dead. And they were no longer a child, but a ball of brain. I lay next to that ball of brain, and I started praying in the name of Jesus, calling out at the top of my lungs. I knelt down and I said, brain, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. As I continued shouting, nothing happened. I started to get discouraged, and I was about to leave. The mother of the child said to me, I could not leave. She wanted me to keep praying, as she wanted to see if this Jesus could really raise people from the dead. So I continued to pray. All of a sudden, that ball of brain started to expand and blow up into an even bigger ball of brain. And then it moved from that, and it started to form into a child. And then as I continued to pray, it turned into a beautiful baby girl. And I was astonished. I'd never seen such smooth skin on a human being. In my country, when we see young babies with such skin, we call them fresh. They're called fresh babies. But I felt so much power in that atmosphere. I could not believe the power that came with the name of Jesus. A while back, I was watching the Oprah Winfrey show, and she was talking about how she moved from poverty to where she is one of the richest people in the world. And she talked about how she always asked herself one question. Instead of looking at the mountain in front of her, she always said, ask this question, what is the next right turn? That's it. What is the next right turn? Not what am I going to do in the next 10 years? And so that is the question I put to you. What is the next right turn? And my response is this. The next right turn is breathe. Breathe. You see, resuscitation requires that you breathe into a lifeless situation. We are to prophesy, to speak His word, and put the breath of God into the dead situations in front of us. So we are to pray. When nothing happens and you feel discouraged and you want to abort mission, you are to keep praying. I had to keep praying in that dream in the name of Jesus. Even when I wanted to give up, the transformation and the resuscitation of the dead will require your word of faith. And bit by bit by bit, first, nothing happened. Then a bigger ball of brain. Then a baby girl. Bit by bit. When Ezekiel first prophesied, there was a process that took place before the dead bones became a living army. First, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And then the bones came together. And then the tendons and flesh appeared. And then the skin covered. But it says, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9 says, then he said to me, this is the Lord to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So back to our original question, what do you do with the tension between your faith and your life circumstances that don't match up with that word? That word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We sing the songs, we pray the prayers, but then there is life. What do you do? How do you keep going? How do you keep praising? How do you keep worshiping in those dry places? How do we navigate the pain and tiredness in the body? It's all in the breath of God. We are to give him his rightful place. We are to proclaim who he is. And that's how we're going to come back to the land of the living. The greatest metamorphosis, right? We hear about metamorphosis a lot when we talk about butterflies and the journey that insect goes through to become a butterfly. The greatest metamorphosis for the body that is in pain, whether it's yourself or the church, the body of Christ, is a resuscitation of the dreams, of the passions, and faith. Faith that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. We have to believe. The body is that army. It says that when Ezekiel finished the army, there was a great army. No longer just bones. As the church, we are that living army. You are his living army. An army that can be mobilized. You are the solution to a dying world. Wherever you're stationed. Recently, a few of us attended the World Prayer Assembly at the convention center. People from all over the world gathered to pray. And they talked about mobilized prayer. They talked about being strategic around prayer. And so if we, the church, are the answer, if we are the solution, I believe it's time we start thinking about how we can mobilize ourselves through prayer. They talked about praying for the schools in your region, praying for the suburbs around you. They talked about picking a country that you can pray for. But it's kind of hard to look outside of yourself when you're looking inward because of your pain. So this morning, I want to pray. I'll just get the band to just come. Keyboard, guitar, singers. I just want to pray. I'll just get you church to just stand up. Prayer is just talking to God, listening to God, praising God, worshiping God. I believe that there are people who here have fallen way too many times to count. Fallen into dry places where you're out of breath. And so this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity. This is you get to decide this. Opportunity to allow the breath of God to fill you again. The breath of God to energize you. Some people have been through some painful situations. We know that, even just in our church. People have gone through some difficult times. But for as long as we are still breathing, as long as we still have the breath of God in us, we can pray. despite our circumstances, despite the fact that the bones came together but there was no breath in them, we keep praying. There's power in the words that you speak. And I think for a lot of us, we're like that person who's got $1 million in the bank, but they don't know it. And so they live like they have nothing. And so this morning, just get you to just close your eyes. And I just want you to think about, do I need prayer for anything? Do I need the breath of God over any situation I'm facing? And if that is you, I would ask you to courageously come up, because we are going to pray. We are going to participate and just pray over those places of dryness and those places of pain. Because God hears our prayers. And there is power in the confession of our mouths. So if you have a prayer need this morning, this is your opportunity to allow the breath of God into your situation.